Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our first and special show here called Suspense Radio One-on-One, partnering up with the team from PartnersInCrimeTours.net. We have exclusive interviews with the authors that are on tour with their book right now with Partners in Crime Tours, a great organization which is helping out many authors, getting their books out to a lot of different bloggers, different radio shows, different places to find a lot more fans. I highly suggest that any author go to them, contact them, see what they can do for you. Wonderful organization. And we're going to kick it off today with our very first guest here on our new show. His name is John Lansing, and his book is called The Devil's Necktie. It's the first in a new series that he's going to write, so we want to welcome John to the show. So how are you doing today, John? Thanks so much for coming
on. I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on. I totally appreciate the platform.
Well, yeah, and so we were just talking a little off the air, and your book tour started yesterday with your first blog site, so you were kind of blogging. And you said that you got a really good favorable review, so things are starting to kick off well. Kicking off perfectly. Yeah, and that's a good thing. And so The Devil's Necktie is the first here in a new series that you're going to write. So tell us a little bit about the book that might not be on the back cover to kind of introduce fans now to your new character and to your new series.
Well, you know, I wanted to write about a detective retired from the force, on the edge of change. He needed to change his life. He was in a contentious divorce. He moved out to Marina Del Rey, California. Everything was going beautifully. He was relaxed. He was starting to enjoy his life again. And then an old confidential informant knocks on his door. And Jack was the kind of guy that he had your back. If he told you he was going to get something accomplished, he did it. If he made a promise, he backed up his words. And so this woman needed help. He said, if it ever gets too hot out on the street for you, I'll be here. I'll do what I can to help. She knocks on his door. He knows his life's going to change. They get together. They end up in a very intimate relationship very quickly. And then she ends up dead very quickly. And Jack gets accused of the crime. And he gets pulled into his old life.
And we're talking about, and your character is Jack Bertolino. And so you starting him off here at the very beginning,
right.
Like you said, that's going to be the first book of the series. Now, do you know how many books are going to be in the series? It's just going to be ongoing, and there's just no end in sight.
There's just no end in sight. At this point, I just finished the first draft of the next book in the series. And I'm going to see how long it takes me. He's a very interesting character. I think I have him in interesting situations. I live in Marina Del Rey. The character lives in Marina Del Rey. I try to write what I know. I think it's the best way to go. You can stay honest. You can get specific. I'm just having a great time.
Yeah, and that's the one good thing is, so, you know, you're writing close to home. So, you know, the places, the street names, the bars or the coffee houses that they might visit. I mean, they're all right there. They're all real life.
Exactly.
That, you know, doesn't know. You know, for people that don't know, Marina Del Rey is not far from Santa Monica. It's on the ocean. It's close, kind of in between LAX and Santa Monica. So it's right
exactly.
down the ocean.
And right
yeah,
down from Venice
area.
Beach. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and a lot of crazies come from Venice Beach, and they just kind of spread all over the place again. If people go to Southern California, the crazies in Venice just kind of go everywhere. Venice Beach is a hilarious place to go to. And you can get a lot of ideas walking along the beach there. I'll tell you that right now.
You're absolutely right.
So, Jack Bertolino, what was kind of your thought process to, you know, create him? Because it sounds like you created the character first before you started thinking of the plots and the places to put him and the things like that. So, how did he kind of come about then?
Well, I wrote a nonfiction book called Good Cop, Bad Money, and I spent 2 years doing research on that book. And it was a memoir of Glenn Morisano, who was the head of the New York Drug Enforcement Task Force. And so I've always been a huge fan of the thrillers and the crime genre. And so I've been looking for something and looking for a character. And in doing the research, I started, like, just getting the feeling Jack's an amalgam of all of the cops that I researched, all of the cops and detectives that I kind of wanted to be, that I read about. He just ended up a person that that I was able to flesh out and feel simpatico with. And so I started there. I knew I wanted to set him up with an incredible conflict with this confidential informant. And I really, for the first time, this book was written without an outline. I come from television. I spent 15 years writing television. I was 5 years on Walker, Texas Ranger as a writer-producer. Whenever we would write those scripts, I always had – it was very constricted in that there was a concise outline. There was a formula to the writing. And with this book, there was no formula. You know, I was flying without a net. And the character started, the situation started – moving him to Marina Del Rey felt right, and it was off and running, and it was an adventure. It was one heck of an adventure.
Yeah, and the one thing that's different that people might not know from, you know, people that are writing TV to writing movies, TV writing is very character-driven, and movie writing is a lot more plot-driven because everything is condensed into an hour and a half and 2 hours. It's very difficult to get a
right.
lot of the character development out for TV.
Exactly.
You can kind of express it. So that's kind of why, you know, you can kind of see being your TV background is why you started with the characters first to kind of bring them up. And then you start, and you're putting them in a great situation. I mean, heck, he gets it. He falls in love, and then bam, right when it happens, you know, things look good. That's when the tragedy strikes. And with the character, her name is Mia.
Exactly.
You know, that happens to the turmoil. So, when you're putting them in those kinds of situations, you're kind of starting it off right off the bang and saying, you know, hey, here you go. Now go from here. But there's probably a lot of background that you're going to talk about later in the series about, you know, how he got to the bay, you know, the way he was, because he is a retired inspector. So I'm sure he has a lot of backlog that you're going to be
exactly.
able to
Exactly. There's a lot of backstory that informs the character. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, when you're looking at the series and you're looking forward and you're saying you're already working kind of on book two and going,
right.
are you kind of leaving it at the end of Devil's Necktie, more of like the cliffhanger as the series is going to kind of progress, or are you kind of ending it kind of here, you know, kind of abruptly and then just starting it again with like a whole new set of stuff?
Well, go ahead. Right. Not abruptly. It's a standalone. Each book will be a standalone. But in the second book, there's characters that were developed in the first book, just introduced, just glanced at, that end up with a prominent place in the second book in the series. Each book in the series will be a standalone. I don't think I'm going to go for the cliffhanger. I think there's going to be a beginning, a middle, and an end. But there's always another case that's going to come down the pike.
Yeah, because, see, when people go to your website, and that's john-lansing.com, the first
right.
thing you do is when you click on the book cover, it says it's a you know, a sizzling thriller for fans of James Patterson and Patricia Cornwell. And one of the two things that those authors did, of course, James Patterson writes Alex Cross, Patricia Cornwell writes Kay Scarpetta, they
right.
put like a little two-book or trilogy within their character, where you see, like, you know, James Patterson kind of had the mastermind in Sanjay in a couple books. Patricia Cornwell kind of had Leland Gott going in a couple books. So you have a lot of opening that you can do, and is that something that you might be planning on doing with maybe having, like, a villain go through a couple, two, three books? Or,
well, you know, it's very interesting, because when I started – that's a great question. And when I started The Devil's Necktie, before I worked with the editor – John Payne, fabulous editor. I had the lead antagonist escape. I was going to keep him alive for the second book. And he sat down and he said, you know, wouldn't it be really gratifying and satisfying for the audience to have Jack Bertolino, the hero, take him down and take him out? And I thought, oh, my God, you know. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what, he's absolutely right. And I think if you read the book, I think it really is very satisfying. And, you know, I just thought that was the way to go. So it's, you know, collaborating on the book took me to a different place, but I'm very happy where it ended up. But because of that, he's not making another appearance. So,
right.
You know,
right.
It's the good news,
right.
Bad news, because he was a good villain. He was a very good villain. But, you know, there's a lot of bad guys out there. You turn on the news every night. It's ad nauseum. There's bad guys all over the place. There's terrible situations.
Yeah, I mean,
so there's plenty of fodder to pull from, you know, for the next book.
Right. I mean, it's almost depressing to turn on the news anymore because every lead story, especially here on L.A. with KCAL 9 or KTLA, it's always something bad. They never
read
off something good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to have to put in one of your books one of the famous L.A. car chases that we always seem to have sometime around with all the freaking helicopters flying all over the place.
I actually referenced it in the next book. Yeah, I referenced that. You know, because you can't turn on the TV without it happening. They look forward to it.
I mean, people that, you know, that don't live in L.A., I mean, the good thing is when, you know, authors like yourself and like Michael Conley and some of the ones who deal with Los Angeles a lot really give a good perspective of kind of how the city is, because it's made up of so many different parts. I mean, there's Los Angeles, but it's so many suburbs and so many different parts of ethnic backgrounds and everything that goes on. It's like you're going into a different world just when you're going from block to block.
And the thing that's really kind of incredible, you have to remind yourself that you're in the city, because just what you just spoke of, it's got a suburban feel. There's the beach, there's the hills, there's the downtown area. There's all these different disparate sections, but it feels, unless you're downtown, suburban, and it feels safe, but it's an illusion. It's a major
mm-hmm.
city with major bad guys, and you have to be aware.
Yeah.
And people get very complacent around here, and to their own detriment.
And now one of the things you mentioned in your book here, and again, we're speaking with author John Lansing, and the book is The Devil's Necktie. You can go to john-lansing.com for a lot more information, or partnersincrimetours.net to see all the list of activities that John's going to be doing here for the next 2 months. But you mentioned a game called the 8th Street Angel or the 18th Street Angels. And
right.
Now, was that off of a certain gang? Because there's not a lot of gangs in Marina Del Rey, so I didn't know if you kind of had to go out a little bit more.
Went out to San Bernardino.
Oh, well, then there you go. That's the highlight.
Although, to tell you the truth, in Venice, there are street gangs.
Yeah,
and there are still
there
street
are.
Gangs. It's getting very gentrified, but there are sections of Venice that the street gangs are still running the areas. It changes block to block. And again, you're in Venice Beach. It feels like you're in zany heaven because the ocean's there, and three blocks away, it's dangerous. It can be dangerous. But I went to San Bernardino, I changed names and I, you know, did all my research, but came up with something that the structure of the gang is absolutely something that was in play and is in play right now.
Now, did you talk to old gang bangers? Did you talk to guys that are in there right now and that are active?
No.
You know, how did you kind of, so you didn't talk
no.
to any of, no?
That just came, that's just from the mind of John Lansing. I didn't do that kind of research. You know, Google is such an amazing tool at this point. You can go in, you can pull up anything while you're writing. You have a question, you Google it, you do research. You can hit, you know, five different points of view about one subject and really go in depth. So it saves you a lot of, when I first started writing, it was all at a library. You know, we'd be doing a TV episode, I have to go to the library to do the research. 2 days later, you'd have all the information. Now it's instantaneous. It's the whole writing process is so much more fun because it's so much more facile. You know, the information is all – I'm sitting in front of the computer screen now. It's right
mm-hmm.
here. And that's one of the joys of writing now, I think.
So when you're taking the reader through the journey, what's the one thing that you kind of want them – to understand as they go through the book, The Devil's Necktie? What's the journey that you kind of want to take them on, and the emotions that you kind of want them to feel and get out, you know, with your characters and with, you know, with the plot in general going forward?
You know, I think it's Jack Bertolino's journey. If I created a compelling character, I want you to feel what Jack is feeling going through the situation. Again, he's a man that was trying to change his life, and in one night of passion, gets sucked back into his own life. And 25 years of being a narcotics detective in New York City, he made a lot of enemies. And, you know, all of his old nemesis has come back to roost.
And so when you're going through, you have a lot of secondary characters that you kind of have to bring in. And like you said, some might move on, you know, to the next book, and
right.
some do not. But when you're developing kind of his world, because you're starting with him in the center and you're kind of, you know, working your way out into a nice circle into his world, which
yes.
kind of secondary characters gave you a shock and a surprise by kind of having a bigger voice than you originally thought that they might have within the book, which kind of just added more to the story?
Great question. It ended up some of the people in the 18th Street Angels. Some of the bad guys, I didn't know whether they were going to just be peripheral characters and serve the action, but they ended up, again, writing a novel. You can spend time with these people. You can give them a backstory. And as I developed the backstories, they became really compelling to me and really fun to spend time with. And they took on a life of their own. Again, all of the characters took on a life of their own because I didn't outline. You know, I started with a premise, and I moved from there. So I was as surprised as hopefully the readers will be as to the development of the characters and the development of the story. And it starts small, and it's like the pebble in the pond. You know, you put a pebble in the pond, and there's a ripple, and a small ripple, and it gets larger, and it gets larger, and it flops over the edge of the shoreline, and that's how the devil's necktie plays. One inciting event, and it turns into a hell of a ride, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until a very wonderful action ending.
Yeah, and, you know, we have a lot of authors that, you know, read our magazine and listen to the show.
Right.
You know, because it's a lot of advice. Because, you know, I saw an article one time where it said 89% of the people in the world want to write a book, but only like 5% ever accomplish it. So when
right.
people come to you on like blogs and they want to ask questions and they say, you know, what's one of the one piece of advice that maybe you received coming up and writing that you could pass on, you know, to an author to say, look, it's not an easy thing to do, but if you do certain things, you can accomplish your goal.
All right. Well, great question, and here's the easy answer. I was doing the nonfiction, and that was a career change for me. That was a door that opened up, and I said, you know what, I'm going to step through. I'm going to try my hand at this. And while I was doing it, as I said, I started thinking about a character, big fan of the genre, wanted my own detective, came up with something that I thought was compelling. But so how do I write it? And I started doing research, and Walter Mosley, who's one of my favorite authors, he's just fantastic. He's got a gift with language and character. He wrote a very small little book. It's a little pamphlet. It's called This Year You Write Your Novel. And it gave me the strength to work without an outline. He talked about, you know, a couple of ways of going about and approaching it. Work with an outline. Don't work with an outline. Let the characters tell you where they want to go. Trust the process. It will work out. In fact, it did work out for me. But his basic treatise is sit down and write every day. The book isn't going to write itself, but if you sit down and take time and every day sit down and do something, you can rewrite, you can re-rack, you can research, but write every day. At the end of the year, you're going to have a first draft of a novel written. And that's it. It doesn't write itself. Develop a habit, and that might be the best habit you ever have in your life. So that's the advice. Write.
And so now that you are, you know, getting into the world of novels and fiction novels, aside away
right.
from TV, is this kind of where you're going to see yourself progress further? You want to stay in the novel realm? Are you ever going to go back and maybe write for TV again? Or how do you kind of see that, you know, both of those parallels going in your career?
I have to tell you that I so enjoy sitting down in front of this computer. I enjoy writing by myself. I had a writing partner for 15 years, Bruce Servi, wonderful writer. We partnered on all the television and film work that we did. And now, writing alone, not having to negotiate, being able to immerse myself in the characters, not having to pitch to the star, not having to play to anybody except the page, is so gratifying that I'm hoping that this is the next 10 years of my life. You know, it's what I'm working for. It's why I sit down every day. I wake up in the morning writing. I walk the dog. I come back. I continue. It's just a joy and a passion for me, and I hope that makes it to the page. You know, I hope the people reading. I've gotten very good response and a lot of wonderful, wonderful reviews on Amazon. And it's what I want to be doing now. Now, if I was approached to turn it into a movie or turn it into a television series, we'll broach that when it happens. But right now, I was more interested in getting the series started, getting the first book published, writing the second book, which, I just finished the first draft of. I'm in the editing process with it right now. And you know, taking a flyer with this life because, you know, I'd rather sit down and read a good book than watch a television series. It's just who right. I am. It's finding the audience, you know, to join in that joy of what I'm cranking out that I'm working on now. It's why I'm doing this blog tour with Cheryl and Gina. Fabulous people. You know, the tour started yesterday, but, you know, it's going well, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 months of the blog tour.
Well, you know, you can just tell that police crime was in your blood because, you know, you appeared not only in, you know, Walker, Texas Ranger and helped by writing a lot of those episodes, but Charlie's Angels, Mike Hammer, Matt Houston, Hunter, Magnum P.I. I mean, the middle 80s detective guys who kind of redefined that 80s era. I mean,
exactly.
It's kind of been in your blood now for almost 30 years.
But see, I was an actor then, so I was acting on
right.
those TV shows, and yeah,
but
that's what that when I talk about, you know, an amalgam of all the different detectives I ever
right.
saw or I wanted to be, Jack Bertolino ended up that guy. So I picked and
yeah.
pulled from everybody, and you know, and he developed his own voice in the first book.
So if you had to say Magnum P.I., Hunter, Matt Houston, and Mike Hammer, all in the ring together, which one comes out alive?
I'm going to throw one more in. You know, the only one that would really come out alive is Chuck Norris.
Well, yeah, that's why I didn't throw him in, because he beat everybody.
Oh, because that was too easy? Well, it wouldn't be Magnum. It wouldn't be Magnum, because Magnum used to, you know, punch somebody and his hand would hurt. You know, he was
right.
very human that way. He was a great character. Maybe Mike Hammer, because he'd pull out a gun and shoot the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably my favorite TV detective of all time, and I just loved
was he?
The character. Oh, he was my favorite, without a doubt. I loved the Mike Hammer shows. You know, I mean, it was just great. I mean, it was. He would be more along the lines of the Indiana Jones, where the guy is sitting there with the knife and he's swirling all over the place. He just thinks that he's going to shoot him and walks away. Like, just
exactly.
get out of my seat. You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That's a great scene. That's an iconic scene.
So give everybody a little bit of idea, like, where you're going to be coming up if they wanted to kind of, you know, when you're on these blog tours, are fans able to ask questions to you? Or is it just the blogger asking? How is it kind of set up for you while you're going through this to be able to reach out to fans and maybe interact with them?
All they have to do is... It's like even today, there's a blog stop today. All they have to do is go to the bottom of that and you leave a comment. If anybody leaves a comment or asks a question, I'll get it, I'll answer it, and it will be printed at the bottom of the blog. So I'll be there every day for the next 2 months for the different stops on this tour. And I would love questions, and I'd love the interaction. That'd be great.
And
I'll be
like
there. I'll fulfill my end of it. If you show up, I'll be there too.
And it looks like today it is CMASH lovedstoread.com. It looks like that's the one that you're going to be going to today.
Exactly.
But you got a lot of stuff. It looks like June, you got a lot of stuff going on. July, you're going to have a lot of it. So you got a lot of good stops along the way. I mean, there's 22 listed here on the partnersincrimetour.net website, and you never know when things might be added. But, you know, that'll be a lot of great experience for you going forward, just to get out to the
fans. It's
going to
be wonderful.
You know, yeah, because this is, you know,
if people read the book and have any ideas, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if they read the book and they have any ideas going forward, if they have anything they want to share or any questions about the process, I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, and this is the good thing about blog tours compared to book tours when you're going around cities and Barnes & Noble. If somebody misses you in St. Louis, they just can't drive all the way over to Phoenix to catch you if you're going to be your next one. But if someone happens to miss you here on June the 6th, they can always go to the next blog on the next day, and they can always catch you up and, you know, and just get you straight from their computer and be able to ask you questions and just keep going forward. So I think blog tours are a great way to stay in touch with all the fans.
So do I. And they can also go to my website, and they can leave information at the end of it. There's a way of you know, sending me an email. So if there's any other questions, they can also do it there. But the blog tour is a wonderful thing. That's why I'm doing it.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, John. I told you 25 minutes or so would go by fast, and we are here at the end of it. And we just want to thank you so much for coming on. Looking forward to seeing everything that goes on with your character going forward. Keep in touch with us. You know, let us know, and, you know, we will talk further and just keep us up to date on everything you got going on.
John, thanks so much, first of all, for taking the time, for having the radio show. It's a great show, and I appreciate it. I appreciate getting the word out there.
Well, thanks again, and thank you. And, you know, we look forward to seeing what you got going on in the future.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, John.
All right. Enjoy your nice 70-degree weather while I'm going to be sitting here in 90 degrees.
Okay,
so,
I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, again, everybody, that is author John Lansing. The book is The Devil's Necktie, and that's john-lansing.com. And if you are an author and you have a book out and you want to get the word out, go to partnersincrimetours.net. Sign up, talk to them. Great people. They will write direction of everything that you need to do to get your book going off the right start. And you can just see the list of people that they have going on there. You know, with John Land is going to be coming up, and Joseph Adong, some great authors that they host their tours with. So we will be back here next Sunday with our next partner, or not next Sunday, my fault. The next time that we have this one-on-one is going to be the 28th with Joseph Vidal, and then August the 4th with J.M. LeDuc. So check us all out. You can check out the regular radio show on Saturdays. And until then, everybody, thank you again so much for tuning in here to Suspense Radio, one-on-one with the Partners in Crime Tour authors. See you guys all next time.